need to, we all need prayers, I tell you. Day and time we're living. I tell you, I don't know. I just don't see how it can be that much longer for the Lord to come back, but I know that he's going to come back in his own time. And there's no need in us worrying about it. We can't hurry it up. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the year. But the only thing that we do know is he's coming back. Amen. I mean, that's one thing he did reveal to each one of us. He is coming back. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. But if you will this morning, turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple of verses there, then I'm going to go over to chapter 14. Chapter 6, the book of Revelations. And it says right here, down here, the 16th verse. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lord. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? His wrath we haven't seen. The wrath of God yet. But I believe we are in the time frame that we're going to end up seeing more God's wrath. And it's going to be more God's wrath upon the church. And because the church is not standing up for what it was at one time. And we need to stand up for what it means. And not only that, we need to look forward into what he has offered each one of us. He has offered each one of us a place that where no living being has ever seen before. I haven't seen it, and you haven't seen it. And that place is heaven. But we're going to have to go through some times here on earth until we get to that place. And I think when we go through them times, we're going to be more thankful of what God has really done for us. Now, you know yourself, I've said something here in the last two or three weeks, or maybe the last couple of months or something like that, talking about that we need to let people know the stand that we take, and we can let them know in a way where it won't be harsh and it won't be judgmental or nothing like that. But we can just tell them what the Lord has done for us. I mean, I don't know why I'm off on that so much here lately, but I believe that's what we need to tell the people today. We've tried everything else under the book. So we need to start letting them know what God has done for me, where God has brought me from, and for the blessings that God has provided me each and every day. But over here in chapter 14 in verse 1, and he's speaking about the vision of the Lord and speaking to the 144,000. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him, 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great trumpet, a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers and harping and the harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from above, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. And in thy mouth were found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongues and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of water. And thou followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath for her fornication. Now, Father, Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for this day. And Father, we want to thank you for the Sunday school hour. Now, Lord, we thank you for each and every individual that's made their way out today. Father, that they come and they come for a reason. They want to hear something from heaven. They want to hear something from your voice that you may speak unto them and speak unto their hearts. And Lord Jesus, I know the individuals that are here. I believe I can almost tell you the desires of the heart. But Father, I would not, because I may not know exactly what is on the heart. And I don't. But you do, and they do. And I know, Lord Jesus, that you just want to make yourself known and make yourself present within the services here. And Lord Jesus, we ask God that you may bless. And Father, give me the words that I need to say this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. You know, there in the book of Revelation, we see the gospel. where it's talking about here in chapter 14 and verse 6, and it says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation and kindred and tongue and people." The gospel needs to be preached today like it did 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago. The same gospel needs to be preached. But today the gospel is being watered down. It's being watered down that people don't really understand what he's talking about when it's the gospel. The gospel is nothing other than the good news. And what's the good news? The good news is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. And without the death, the burial, and the resurrection, you have no gospel. You have no good news. The only thing that we have is we have something that we can just look at. But it don't have no dwelling place within us. And we need that gospel that can help us during the week. You know, we just don't need the gospel just on Sunday morning. We need a gospel Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We need it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We would say, "Preacher, how in the world can I? I can't be in God's word all the time. I mean, I gotta work. I mean, I can't be in God's word. I gotta go here and I gotta go there. I can't do it all the time." But you can keep a constant. You keep your mind concentrated on what you've learned. What you've learned and what you've read in the past. Over in the book of John, chapter 14, and verse 26, it says, what does it say, the latter part of that? That he will bring all remembrance back to us when we need it. When do we need it? When we can't turn and read the scripture. You know, people today, you can go in homes, you can go into people's homes that don't even come to church, don't even go to church, wouldn't even come to church. But you can go into the homes, and the first thing that you'll see in the den or living room, wherever they is going to meet the guest of the house, they're going to have a great big white Bible around. You know, the only thing is that book, that Bible, where it says Holy Bible, and then it's got the face of Jesus on it, which that's just man-made. But the only thing that's ever touched that Bible is the dust that's on it. People don't realize that they got something there that's precious. They got something there that can help them along the way. Not only they got that Bible there on the coffee table,
And they probably got four or five other Bibles around the house. But do they ever pick them up? Do they? We can see the indication of that now. You can see that in all the churches. The people do not pick up the Bibles. They do not read the Word of God. Because if they did, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction to them. And when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, it touches your heart in a way like you've never, ever thought it would ever touch. You say, well, preacher, he can get up here. He can preach a message if he wants to. Hey, he don't know my heart. No, I don't know it. But the Lord does. The Lord knows it. And when the Lord knows it, then the Lord's going to say, the Holy Spirit, now, you go and you deal with them. You deal with them. Whatever you have to do, deal with them. Because I died for them. I died for them. So Holy Spirit, please, please go and deal with them. Speak to the heart in a way to where they realize that there's something better than what they've ever had before. They've bought in a TV program, bought in any TV evangelist, better than anything else. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'll make a promise to any of them. And I believe I can stand on that promise because I have the Word of God. But if people would truly ask the Lord to save their soul and touch them, not to touch the minds. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, I can ask the Lord to touch my mind. We'll see if he don't touch my heart. Where's the love going to come in at? Love don't come in from a mind. It comes in from a heart. And we must realize that. We must realize that if we just give the... tell the people, say, just give God a chance. You giving the devil a chance. You giving him a chance. The devil gives you 3, 4, 5, and 6. He'll give you a dozen chances. The Lord will tell you. But there will come a time. There will come a time. When the Holy Spirit speaks to the individual, it be just like the water on a duck's back. It just going off. I don't pray that for anybody. To where the Holy Spirit will not speak to them. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will continue to speak to people. Continue to speak to them during the day. And then at night. Or when they lay down and they lay their head down and go to sleep. That the Holy Spirit will start talking to them. And if the Holy Spirit continues to talk to them, they've got to give in. They're going to have to give in.
So many people today is out of church. So many people today is not where they need to be. I'm talking about saved people. They're not in church. Why? Because they had their feelings on his shoulders. And
I accidentally maybe knows him a little bit. And now they allowing all their joy to be defeated. Why? Because of man. That's not my intention. My intention is never to cause anyone to stay out of God's house. If I ever get to that point, and that's what I preach about and everything, and people start, they won't come, they say, well, I'm not going to come. Said, if the time will come, he's picking on me. I mean, you know, hey, I'm not picking on nobody. I don't pick on nobody. The Holy Spirit does that. See, the Holy Spirit knows what's on your heart. And the Holy Spirit knows what's on my heart. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do what his job is. But we keep him from doing it. We keep him from doing it. We'll say, oh, well, I'll try to make it Sunday. Then he'll keep talking to you during the week. I'll be there Sunday. Yeah. And you get, maybe somebody from your church will go by there and visit them or something like that. Say, so, well, you know what? You know, just thought we'd come and let you know that what's going on at your church, what God can do for you. Then tell them all what God has done for us. They say, yeah, all right, I'll come Sunday. But the thing about it is, when they say that they'll come Sunday, they didn't say if they're going to come Sunday, February the 14th of 2016. They didn't say what Sunday day is going to come. They could have meant, and they was probably thinking in their hearts, that, well, I'm coming Sunday. I'm coming Sunday. Which Sunday is it? Is it 2016? 2017 or 2018? Or April or May or when? When are you coming? The Lord Jesus, he didn't say, well, I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to give my life for you next week. Which week is it? Next week? This year? Next year? When is it? What the Lord says in this book, what he says right here, in Scripture, from Revelation, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, is that I believe every word in him is factual truth. Is it truth? He's not going to tell us something and then do something else. He's not going to do that. That's not the type of God that we serve. That's not the type of God I serve. And it sure ain't the type of God that I want to serve. I want to serve the same Lord, the same Jesus Christ, that's in his book, what this book is written about. And it's written about the Son of God. This is the only, this book right here. And I'm holding up the King James Bible. This right here is the only book that we have that we know the author behind the book. And who's the author? God the Father. Not only do we know the author that had written this book, but as we read the book, the author speaks to us. We know the author that read the book written. And we know the author personally, because every time we read, he's reading it back to us. He's reading it back to us. So yes, I know the author. I don't just know of him. I know of him in a personal way. The gospel. The word gospel meant good news. And it's speaking about the four forms of the gospel. And speaking of the gospel of the kingdom. His gospel. It's just not our gospel. But it's his gospel. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the Father. It's the gospel of the Holy Spirit. And no one of them three is going to come to us with anything else but the gospel. And these 144,000, they got the gospel. And they going out and they preaching the gospel. How many preachers that we know of? That doesn't preach the gospel. We can name them. They don't preach the gospel. They don't preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Because when you preach the gospel, you also got to preach about his wrath. And not only that, we have the gospel of grace. You know, I love some of these parents out here where they name the child Grace. They'll give them biblical names. But it's a whole lot of them out here.
They will give the child the biblical name. You know what to do? They'll go in the Bible, they'll get in the Bible, and they'll look for a name. That name sounds pretty good. Pretty good to them. But yet then they don't think about what the meaning is of it. They don't know what the meaning of grace means. They don't know what the Naomi means. They don't know what the name Rebecca means. They don't know what they mean, the biblical names. What they mean is they got more of a meaning to them than just the name. They got the character within the name. But it's all about, just like I've said before in here, I'm not here just for Faith Baptist Church. I'm here to build up the kingdom of God. That's what we all need to be looking toward. We need to be looking toward. We need to be building up the kingdom of God. And we are. Wait a minute, preacher. We are. Hadn't seen nobody get saved here lately. Think about the missionaries that we support. Think about the souls that they've witnessed to. Think about the souls that where they give their heart to the Lord Jesus. I like what Brother J.D. Walker says. And I like what he said back here first part of January when he was here. Right before he got up for the Sunday school hour, Ms. Huff was taking the roll. And I forgot how many was here. But she said something like this. Might have been three or four. Two or three visitors or something like that. And Brother J.D. Walker got up here, and when he got up here to preach, he come up his steps, and as soon as he got here, he says, "I beg to differ with you. You ain't got no victory. Because I'm on your salary. I'm on your salary. You pay me a salary every month." So, and in a way, I kind of agree with him. But he has, there's so many things that he has taught me and through his preaching and through his ministry that I've learned. And Lord, I can't, there's no way in the world that I don't tell anybody that I'm too old to learn. Or I know it all or something like that, because I'd be telling them. I'd be telling a lie if I told you I knew it all. I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I know it may have shocked some of y'all, but I don't know it all. Because I have to get my help from above. And I thank the Lord that he does help me. We need to preach the gospel. About the past. We need to remind people of the days ahead. Because it's not going to get no better. Yes, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But even though we have all three living within us, He still does not even promise us the good things that's going to come about. No. I think we done seen. We done seen and we done heard all the good news that we've ever heard. What we're going to hear now is the wrath of God. The everlasting gospel, where it's preached on earth and it dwells well among men. So if we preachers that has been called by God to preach the gospel. If we don't preach the gospel, shame on us. Shame on us if we don't preach the gospel. It should be preached everywhere. Not just in this little community. This community right here should not be the only place that we carry the gospel to. We can carry the gospel with us anywhere we go. We go to Walmart, we can carry the gospel with us. We go to Sam's, we can carry the gospel with us. If we go to work on a job, we can have the gospel with us. And that's one thing I don't understand why a whole lot of people don't get the idea that because of regulations, because of people's belief of today, they have the Christians all scared to the point that the Christians won't bring up the gospel. But to me, any individual where I work at, where you work at, if there's any other individual in the workplace where you're at, if they are using God's name in vain, if they are doing what the devil has asked them to do, then you have a right. You have a God-given right to speak about your God. Because they're speaking about their God.
They have more rights than the Christian does. Christians don't have no rights anymore. You know, the word Christian today is just thrown out there. The word Christian today is just another byword. What a whole lot of people say. They don't even know what it means. Christian means Christ-like. It's not saying that I am like Christ. No, Christ-like. Means that's what I'm supposed to strive for. I'm supposed to strive to be like Christ. I'm supposed to strive to where I can have the mind of Christ. And I can strive to have the heart of Christ. That which Paul called my gospel, Paul called it my gospel. It's my gospel also. It's your gospel too. It's a personal gospel for each one of us, that we can hold on to it. This is the gospel of grace. And it fulfills the duty that the Lord Jesus has had for each one of us. And what is that? That is the development of our heart and our soul. That's what it's about. In development in being like Christ. And it speaks about, and this is the last point, 5 minutes. And it says, there is another gospel, which is another, but a perversion of the gospel of the grace of God, against which we are warned, and it has been many forms of it. What they're talking about right here, they're talking about the gospel that man has come up to satisfy them and themselves. We have people today, all the time today, now, that is coming up with something else that they're going to preach. They don't believe in what this gospel is all about. Because the gospel does not just stay with the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel is also the book of Revelation. The gospel is also the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The gospel also is Genesis. It is Exodus. Leviticus and Numbers. And Deuteronomy and Joshua. All of them are the gospel. Everything that's penned in in these pages right here is the gospel. Even this book, this rim of a book, this the brown leather that's right here, it's the gospel. Why? Because it says that right there, holy, and that's the gospel. Holy is the gospel. And that's what we need to live by. That's what we need to try to focus ourselves on, that we need to be more holy than we are. God says that we need to be more holy. He speaks of it. When he does, that's when we can say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And thank you, Father, for taking that pen and you dipped it in into that crimson red that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. And you wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody else could do that for me. Nobody else could do it. My mother couldn't do it. My wife couldn't do it. My daughter couldn't do it. Nobody on this earth could do that. Nobody. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each one of them had a co-equal part in me coming to know Jesus and getting saved. It's the Holy Spirit that brought conviction to my heart. He introduced me to Jesus. Then Jesus is the one that saved me when I confessed my sins and told him I didn't know what else to do. And after I confessed my sins, then the Father, he took that pen and he dipped it right there. And then he wrote down, brother, Don Mahan, saved. August, I believe it was August 11th, 1980. I know some people can't remember the exact date. Sometimes I forget about it and I can't either. But you know something, that doesn't really make no difference, really. What does make the difference is we know where our name is at. It's not on no court record. It's on God's record. Everyone stand, all head bowed, eyes closed. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for this day. Now, God, Father, as we come down to this time of the service, Father, we pray, Lord, that you may search the hearts of the believers that are here today. Lord, if there's anyone, Father, that needs to come forward, come front, Lord, for whatever the reason may be, to pray for somebody, Lord, just lift them up, we pray. Allow them to come forward. And Father, where they will not miss a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.